Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Well, I'm on my way. I don't know where I'm going. I'm on my way. I'm taking my time, but I don't know where. Goodbye to Rose, the queen of Corona. See me and Julio down by the schoolyard. See me and Julio down by the schoolyard.
Good morning, 8:11 here on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. It's Friday. That means we must be talking to Julio Diaz, the host of Let's Go Pensacola. You can listen to him on News Radio 4 o'clock on Saturday, and also the host of the Pensacola Movie Club. You can follow them on Facebook and then show up and watch a movie and talk about it with them, typically on a Thursday night. Julio, welcome back, sir.
Hey, good morning, Andrew.
Good morning. Godzilla X Kong, the new empire, in parentheses, 2024.
Yeah, you know, everything's empires now. We had Frozen Empire last week. Now we've got the new empire. You know, at some point, the empire may strike back.
Oh, see what you did there? How long have you been working on that one?
How long did we figure out what the subtitle was going to be? 10 seconds ago?
Right. So is it everything we expect from this series?
Are you saying it showed, Andrew? Are you saying it showed?
How is it?
Getting okay reviews on this. Unfortunately, I did not get a chance to see it last night. Okay. I am looking forward to it. I do somewhat enjoy these MonsterVerse movies. I love the kaiju. I love Kong. I love Godzilla. You know, when we have a really great kaiju movie like last year's Godzilla Minus One, obviously, you know, that goes above and beyond. But even if it's cheesy and dumb and fun, I'm still interested. I enjoy the MonsterVerse overall, even though some of the movies I think have been kind of lacking.
Mm-hmm.
I did enjoy the Apple TV series that Monarch Legacy of Monsters, that is some of the backstory in this world, which is separate from like 20 different other Godzilla worlds that are out there. So this is the next one of those. And, you know, again, these are big dumb fun.
Right, and that's what you expect out of them, right?
So yeah, either you're here for this or you're not, and if you're here for it, you're gonna have a good time. If you're not, then it's not for you. And find something else to watch. There's lots of other stuff.
In all honesty, how wrong can you go when Rebecca Hall's in the movie? I mean, you know, that's a that's always a plus. I think you have an announcement to make too related to this movie.
I do. We actually have a very large part of this movie coming to Pensacola in February of next year for Pensacon. And I don't mean that in the way that, like, in the last one, Godzilla came to Pensacola. And,
oh, my God, and goes to the 50 levels underneath the ground that doesn't exist in Pensacola. Yeah, right, I got you.
Oh, yeah, and, you know, they make that trip to Chinatown, don't forget. You know, that noted Chinatown section of Pensacola.
Well, it's near Warrington, right?
Yeah, absolutely. But this time we actually have Kong coming to Pensacola, and that being the actor who plays Kong. Yes, they do have actors playing the kaiju in these movies, although it's motion capture. It's not like in the old days where they're wearing a rubber suit or anything
right.
like that. So Alan Henry is the name of the actor. He also was the title character in Cocaine Bear. He performed the action for that.
So he's used to being a monster. Okay, I like
it. Yeah, so he is he's Kong in this movie, and he is going to be at Pensacon in February.
Oh, that's cool.
So, get your tickets early. Pensacon.com. VIP passes are on sale now.
All right. We got two others to get to quickly in the Land of Saints and Sinners.
Liam Neeson action movie, which for some people is more than enough to say. But this one's actually getting pretty decent reviews, running about 74% on Rotten Tomatoes. And this is a little bit of a period piece set in Ireland. So he gets to use his native accent and everything. And,
nice.
Yeah.
All right, so we'll get the typical not 2-star, but 2.5 stars maybe for a Liam Neeson shoot 'em up. All right, and then Problemista is the other one.
Yeah, Problemista. This is the more esoteric indie film choice of the week. This is by a guy named Julio Torres, no relation because it's not the same last name. But you'd be amazed how many people, you know, when I was growing up, said, "Oh, are you related to Julio Iglesias?" No. My name's not Iglesias.
That's not how the language works.
Yeah,
no.
That's not how surnames work.
But this is
about a guy who's an immigrant. He's a toy designer. He has these big dreams of becoming this big toy designer. But in order to stay in the country, he takes a job as an assistant to someone in the art world played by Tilda Swinton. This is getting pretty good reviews, although I do have a friend that walked out of it last night and said it was completely insufferable. So.
Perhaps I can imagine that response. What are you guys going to watch next week, Julio?
Not sure yet, but check out the Facebook group. As soon as we know, it will be posted there.
Let's go Pensacola 4 o'clock tomorrow. The Pensacola Movie Club Facebook page. Follow them there and discuss the movies in person when they watch them. Julio, always a pleasure, sir. Thanks for everything you do, and thanks for always being here on a Friday. I appreciate it, sir.
Thanks, Andrew.
8:15 on News Radio 92.3, the Transgressors Memorial Service comes up next. Jake's got traffic on the fives.
I'm not seeing any major issues on our roadways this morning. No slowdowns on Pine Forest or in Carr City. Mobile Highway is clear through Beulah. Gulf Beach Highway not showing any delays. Looking good on Burgess and Olive. Davis Highway is clear from the I-10 overpass through Creighton, Brenton, Fairfield. We're looking good on 12th Avenue through to Palafox and W. Looks like Highway 90 coming out of Milton through Pace is clear this morning. And Longleaf Drive, Pine Forest Road, North Blue Angel, all looking good. If you see anything out there on the roadways slowing you down, let us know about it. Text or call 437-1620. I'm Jake Walker with your traffic on the fives.
Pinner Credit Union is here for every move-in day to the perfect home, every trip up the coast in the perfect car, for every business door unlocked, every dollar saved for something special, every dream achieved one goal at a time. We're here because Pinair Credit Union has been a part of this community since 1936. And with affordable lending, flexible accounts, easy access, and smart guidance, we're a perfect fit for the way you bank. Join us at pinair.org. You'll fit right in. Insured by NCUA, Equal Housing Lender.
Exciting news! The data revolution is on the rise once again. Data Revolution is seeking a second-tier engineer with at least 2 to 3 years of experience in IT, networks, voice over IP, and cybersecurity. Data Revolution's competitive salary is based on experience, and their comprehensive benefit packages include a medical stipend, matching 401k, flexible work hours, starting with 3 weeks of PTO, 10 paid holidays, profit sharing, and more. This is not remote or work from home. To learn more about this opportunity, send your resume to resume@datarevs.com.
Uh-oh!
You've just discovered you have...
rats! Ew! What do I do? How do you get rid of them? I haven't a clue.
To get rid of the rats is no problem at all. The solution's inside Davis Hardware and U-Haul.
Hi, how can we help you?
I have a rat problem.
Oh, rats.
Literally, what do I do?
Davis Hardware and U-Haul employees are real hardware people and know what happens when infestations get out of hand. They have the experience to help you get rid of your, uninvited guests.
Thank you.
Davis Hardware and U-Haul on L Street just off Fairfield in the center of Pensacola.
Guy Benson, keeping you informed of the news every day at 2, right after Mark Van Camp and Robbins on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today for the Transgressors Memorial Service, remembering those who have transgressed against the great spirit of inclusion and must forever be cast into the abyss of dead names. Let's join Brother Andrew remembering those who we have lost.
Our first remembrance is for Women's History Month. Let me ask you a simple question. If men and women are equal, then why should half of the species receive only 1 month of attention per year? You see how preposterous this is? Instead of this obscene 1/12th of the pie consolation prize, let us give women as much pie as they truly deserve. If women are half of the people, then let us give them half of the months. In full partnership with the Female Supremacy Council and in consultation with the If We're Honest About It, Men Are Just Terrible Association, we now present to you the Up With Women annual monthly celebration schedule. January will become the new Women's History Month, focusing on all the things women have done for humankind, including giving birth to all the men who ever did anything at all. March will be Women's Virtue Month to remind people how loving, gentle, kind, and nurturing women are. All women, period. Don't ask questions. May will be Women's Intelligence Month to celebrate all the ways in which women are smarter than men, which is why they always win all of the arguments. July, fittingly, will be Women's Independence Month, and from now on, even July 4th can focus on all the ways that independence is really only possible because of our mothers. September can be Women's Strength Month because, as our dogma teaches, whether in speed, stamina, or sheer physical power, women are every bit as strong as men. And November can become All the Other Ways Women Are Better Than Men Month, focusing on things like women's intuition, multitasking, emotional connectivity, creating to-do lists, not taking sick days, and always remembering the location of keys and socks. Now, regarding the other months of the year, we did formerly embrace the notion that simply promoting women would be enough to make them equal to men. Sadly, we have now come to the conclusion that if we are ever to have true reputational equity between the sexes, we must take from the rich and give to the poor, metaphorically speaking. To overcome millennia of misogynistic momentum, we must not only raise up women, but also tear down men. A goal which has been obvious from the bulk of feminist literature, waves 2 through 12 and 14 through 17. Thus, during the even months of each year, we will advance the femtopia by actively denigrating men. February can focus on men's violent natures. Warfare, hunting, fighting, football, boxing, and enjoying The Sopranos will, of course, all be themes. April can focus on men's lack of self-control. Gambling, pornography, profanity, alcohol, video games, and fantasy sports will be key lessons. June can focus on men's basic laziness, the way they pretend to be asleep when the baby needs changing at night, their inability to put underwear and socks inside the laundry basket, and falling asleep in front of the television will be central motifs. August can focus on men's filthiness, sweaty, smelly, and dirty. Men don't do laundry, avoid cleaning dishes, and never seem to believe in the need to dust regularly, and they use the restroom without washing their hands. Need we say more? October will focus on how men ruin the world through political bickering, shady business dealings, abusive religious institutions, and destruction of natural resources, as well as the fact that they never, ever seem to remember to send birthday cards to anyone. December, finally, will simply be Male Contrition Month, during which the only legal words for men to say out loud in public will be, "You were right, I was wrong, I should never have questioned your wisdom, I'm sorry, dear, and of course, what can I do to make it up to you?" Perhaps with 1 month of practice per year, men will finally memorize their lines. We are truly optimistic that with this scheme of bi-monthly reinforcement of the goodness of women alternating with the worthlessness of men, that in just one or two short centuries, we can finally achieve equality between the sexes. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
Love for the Father.
Second, Melissa Persling, or as you may know her on TikTok, SDC Williams, the notorious advocate of trad wifery.
First, let me explain that the trad wife lifestyle is not a trend. It is not trendy to be a traditional wife. This has been done since the beginning of time.
As Persling repeatedly explains in her TikTok, she is a believer in everything that has kept women oppressed throughout history. Meaningful gender distinctions, the division of labor based on sex, submission to her husband and service of her family, the value of looking pretty for your man, and yes, even, gasp, the value of traditional housework.
Number three, learn to cook, learn to clean, and learn how to host. Cooking and cleaning are life skills that can benefit you and your family forever.
Yes, everything about this woman's way of life and her advocacy for it threaten all the gains we've made over the last 60 years. Our redefinition of womanhood to be the same as manhood is nearly complete, and trad wives talking openly about their way of life threatens the entire project. As Persling says, women seem to be interested in this regressive social arrangement because they're beginning to suspect that leaving their children to go to work has not been as satisfying or profitable as we have told them it would be.
Three, we have a whole generation of women who are burnt out at their career and they're tired of being a provider and a homemaker when they come home from their job.
But of course, the solution to this is not to revert to a now obsolete social structure like traditional marriage. The solution is to work more. And trust the power of video games and social media to raise your children for you. Now, normally, you might expect us to be supportive of a woman who is simply telling people about her ideas, describing what she does to achieve happiness and satisfaction, and standing up for herself and her way of life. But in this case, no, no, and oh, hell no. Of course women are allowed to choose for themselves however they want to live, just as long as they do it in one of the seven approved ways that we allow and not in a way that looks anything like a truly individual choice. No, this gender traitor is not merely asking for us to accept her alternate lifestyle. This betrayer of women is threatening to give women everywhere the dangerous idea that there might be a way to not feel exhausted all the time and have a healthy, happy marriage by embracing the concept of women and men not necessarily being designed for the same things. In short, we must not tolerate the existence of traditional wives and certainly must not allow them to share their gender heresy openly. Melissa Persling and all other TikTok trad wives must go, whoa. Unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
Finally, we want to celebrate the excellent recovery from near disaster made by the executives at NBC Universal News Group this week when Chairman Cesar Conde reversed course, terminated its relationship with former RNC Chair Ronna McDaniel, and apologized to the entire staff for having the audacity to hire a pro-Trump Republican as a news commentator. Of course, the first mistake was thinking it could be appropriate to bring some sort of balance and fairness to the on-air political discussions of the presidency in an election year by actually employing someone who is not an approved and practicing Democrat. As thought leader and solid opponent of meaningful political dialogue, Chuck Todd said on Meet the Press,
"Let me deal with the elephant in the room.
Yeah.
I think our bosses owe you an apology for putting you in this situation, because I don't know what to believe. She is now a paid contributor."
The reason Chuck is wailing and gnashing his teeth is because Ronna McDaniel was mean to NBC when she worked at the Republican Party.
"Look, there's a reason why there's a lot of journalists at NBC News uncomfortable with this, because many of our professional dealings with the RNC over the last 6 years have been met with gaslighting, have been met with character assassination."
But the real issue here is that NBC was running the risk of giving legitimacy to conservative viewpoints and Republican values, and even, and I say this with as much disgust as I muster, making it seem like decent people might actually have a favorable view of former President Trump. I know.
"When NBC made the decision to give her NBC News' credibility, you got to ask yourself, what does she bring NBC News?"
You see, what Chuck Todd knows and what Chairman Conde had to be reminded of is that the dominant hold our ideas have on this country is fragile. So fragile that it depends on excluding the other side from an equal place at the discussion table. This frailty is the entire reason we believe in cancel culture. After all, if McDaniel were allowed on NBC, people might discover that there actually are women who oppose abortion. They might find out that some moms favor gun ownership. And worst of all, they might learn that some women even like Trump. No. No. Our side, of course, controls much of modern media, and it is vital that we continue to use our power to exclude those heretical voices and people from communicating their misguided ideas with the American people. This is how we continue to control the discussion while also pretending to believe in free speech. So kudos to you, NBC, for reminding us that news is only news when it advances the interests of the Democratic Party of the People's Republic of America. Well done. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
Refreshments this week are provided by Wiggle Your Pickle, the tasty nutritional cucumber substitute snack that no child has been asking for. After decades of unnecessary water wasted growing the cucumbers destined for traditional pickles, Wiggle Your Pickle discovered that by adding excessive amounts of vinegar, salt, and sugar to bamboo, they could create a snack that was both good for the environment and high in fiber. You can literally suck on these hyper-brined bamboo treats for days without ever being able to digest them. Wiggle Your Pickle, you can really taste the disappointment.
"And now, brethren, sisterin, and otherin, having been cleansed of these hurtful words, give each other the holy virtue signal, and go forth and transgress no more."
828 News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay, and I'm responsible for the content of this message. Jake's got our traffic for us. Jake?
All right, I'm not seeing anything on our roadways to report this morning. I-10 and I-110 look like they're flowing smoothly. Highway 98 through Gulf Breeze and Navarre, no issues reported there. If you're coming out of Milton through Pace on Highway 90 this morning, nothing slowing you down there. Cervantes is clear through the curve. Cervantes is clear through the curve on Scenic Highway. Avalon Boulevard is clear. I was moving too fast for myself. Avalon Boulevard is clear through to Garson Point Bridge. Caroline Street in Milton is flowing. Pine Blossom Road and Oriole Street are also clear. Chemukla Highway, Woodbine Road, Berry Hill Road, they're all clear. If you see anything out there on the roadways slowing you down and you want to report it to us, our traffic tip line number is 437-1620. This traffic report is brought to you by ECUA. ECUA Bulk Waste Service is now call for pickup. Call by 2 p.m. the day before your service day. Learn more at ecua.fl.gov. I'm Jake Walker with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, Jake. In the newsroom now, David Wayne has got our headlines. David?
All right. Hundreds of anti-Israel protesters were in New York last night. They descended on the Radio City Music Hall ahead of President Biden's star-studded campaign fundraiser. They surrounded the venue as former Presidents Barack Obama and Bill Clinton joined by President Biden for that fundraiser. A new lawsuit alleges a Minnesota scholarship for young black students violates an anti-discrimination law, the George Floyd Memorial Scholarship at North Central University, the subject of a complaint filed with the Department of Education. They argue the scholarship violates the Civil Rights Act. And a attraction at Disneyland had to be shut down this week after somebody scattered human remains, cremated remains.
What is with the theme of, like, dead people parts this morning. Oh, you got a book in Harvard's library, and now this. Go on.
Well, it was the Star Wars Rise of the Resistance. Cast members had to stop and clean this all up before they could reopen the ride.
Ew.
Gross.
No.
Fox News, I'm Therese Crowley. President Biden, in a statement, declares journalism is not a crime on the one-year anniversary of Wall Street Journal reporter Evan Gershkovich being detained in Russia for espionage. Biden says he promised the 32-year-old's parents he will never give up hope. The police family of New York stung that President Biden didn't call or visit the wake of 31-year-old slain NYPD officer Jonathan Diller on Long Island when Biden was 30 miles away in Manhattan. Donald Trump flew there and tells Fox.
You go up to a car and they shoot you and murder you? This shouldn't be happening in this country and it shouldn't be happening anywhere. We're going to stop it. It's got to stop.
Biden was raking in a record $26 million from a fundraiser at Radio City with celebs and former presidents. Actor Lou Gossett Jr. has died, age 87. He said of his career, God's in charge. America is listening to Fox News.
Good morning. It's 8:31 at News Radio 92.3. I'm David Wayne. Right now we've got sunny skies. It's 53 degrees here in Pensacola this morning. Well, the city of Pensacola now confirming that that cyber attack a couple weeks ago was ransomware.
From an interaction standpoint, what you really should only still be seeing on the citizen side of things that maybe the most common would be the bill pay continues, you know, not be operational at this point for Pensacola Energy sanitation.
Still not a lot of information on whether any personal information was affected. Reeves does say that multiple agencies are still involved in that investigation, and PPD has been leading those efforts. Officials in Walton County say a kayaker that was believed to be missing yesterday was found safe. 37-year-old Chris Smelly was safely located by the U.S. Coast Guard last night. Rescue crews had been searching for him on Thursday evening. He'd gone fishing that morning and was late in returning that day. The Santa Rosa Sheriff's Office says a drug trafficking suspect has now been arrested after leading deputies on a high-speed chase on Wednesday. 27-year-old Travis Sturback facing multiple charges, including trafficking in spice, fleeing and eluding, and firing a weapon in public. All of this started when deputies arrived at his home in Jay. Sturback wasn't home initially, but deputies say he pulled up, stopped his car in front of the house, and fired two gunshots out of the driver's side window. A chase then ensued that ended on Highway 87. Deputies say they recovered 150 pounds of spice from his home. That would have a street value of around $200,000. Well, it's our version of Fleet Week in May, a new three-day event celebrating the Navy and its contributions to our area.
We're doing Pensacola Navy Days, a night at the museum. So the museum on the base will be hosting a gala. Again, this will be a ticketed event, and those will be on sale very soon. And we'll get the information out to the public on how you can be a part of that. But it's going to be a very nice sort of a ball with a dinner and keynote speaker.
That's Todd Thompson, president of the Greater Pensacola Chamber. Navy Days will run Friday, May 17th through Sunday, the 19th. And it'll start off with a special themed gallery night. Of course, the museum gala you heard about Saturday. There'll be a 4K run, walk, and a parade. And then the Blues on the Bay concert series wraps that whole thing up. Well, a new report showing more and more out-of-state companies have expanded operations into Alabama, which has created thousands of additional jobs in the state. According to Commerce Secretary Ellen McNair, more than 8,000 new jobs were created in 2023 in Alabama. The report also said foreign and domestic investments in the state last year totaled $6.4 billion. And an Orlando city official facing some serious charges, FDLE says Commissioner Regina Hill arrested on charges of exploitation of the elderly, fraudulent use of personal identification, and mortgage fraud. She's accused of taking advantage of a 96-year-old woman and has and accused of spending over $100,000 of that woman's money on her own expenses. Hills pleaded not guilty on those charges. It's 8:35 at News Radio. Let's get a look at our traffic on the fives. Jake, what are you seeing?
All right, this traffic report is brought to you by Summit Racing Equipment. Not seeing any issues on our roadways. Davis Highway is clear from the I-10 overpass through Creighton, Brenton, Fairfield. We're looking good on 12th Avenue through to Palafox and W Street. Highway 29 is accident-free from the Atmore cutoff in Molino through Cantonment. 9 Mile is accident-free, not showing any delays in Carr City. Cervantes is clear through the curve on Scenic Highway. Let's see here. Caroline Street, Stewart Street, checking in without delays. Pine Blossom Road, Oriole Street are also clear. Highway 98 through Gulf Breeze and Navarre, not seeing any slowdowns this morning, surprisingly. If you see anything else out there on the roadway slowing you down, you can always call or text our traffic tip line, 437-1620. Shop summitracing.com to keep your truck rolling right. Use promo code RADIO for $10 off an order of $100 or more. Exclusions apply. Offer ends April 14th. I'm Jake Walker with your traffic on the fives.
We will have beautiful sunny skies today with temperatures warming up near 71 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 55. Nice weather as we go into Easter weekend. Plenty of sunshine Saturday, high near 74. Saturday night, temperatures dropping near 60 degrees. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
Thank you very much, Brooke. 57 in Pensacola, 57 in Gulf Breeze, and 53 right now in Milton. Your money now. Markets are up this morning. The Dow is up 47.29 at 39.807.37. S&P 500 up 586 at 52.54.35. The Nasdaq, though, down at 2006 at 16.379.46. 10-year bond rate up slightly at 4.2%. Gold price is up 42.10 this morning at 22.54.80. Silver price is up 34 cents at 25.10. And Bitcoin down 338.67 right now at 70,475.87. Looks like the rest of the crypto market following suit there as well. A lot of U.S. companies doing well as the economy boomed in the fourth quarter this year. Of last year, gross domestic product and corporate profits exceeded expectations, with economists pointing to the lingering effects of the pandemic. The GDP increased nearly 3.5% above the forecasted 3.2. FTX co-founder Sam Bankman-Fried has now been sentenced to 25 years in prison in his company's cryptocurrency collapse. That sentence was handed down on Thursday in the same courtroom where he was convicted of fraud and conspiracy 4 months ago. And the wealthiest 1% have reportedly gotten a bit richer. The Federal Reserve reports the top 1% reached a record $44 trillion in combined wealth at the end of last year. And it is 8:38, our next news at 9, and breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3.
Hey, Pensacola, get ready for a midday delight that'll have you hooked. Weekdays from 11 until 2 on News Radio Pensacola. Tune in to the Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins Show. Jamie Markley, David Van Camp, and Scott Robbins are the dynamic trio that'll keep you entertained, informed, and laughing out loud during your lunch break. They dish out the hottest topics, bring you the latest news, and deliver their unique blend of humor and insight that'll have you coming back for more. It's the Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins Show on News Radio Pensacola. 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620.
The hip, the hip, you don't stop. Rap, 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 rap
Parker, wrap it up, please.
Okay.
Okay, everybody, that's a wrap.
That's a wrap. It's the end of the week here on the Pensacola Morning News. That means that I have invited a couple of friends here into the studio with me. We've got many-time repeat customer Ed Carson, a principal at Carson Level, and developer and a member of the zoning board. I always want to get this wrong in Santa Rosa County. Do I have it right, Ed?
Yes, you do. Good morning.
Very good. Good morning. Who I met through Leadership Santa Rosa? Leadership Pensacola?
I think we first met actually at a Republican meeting
Okay.
I was the moderator for a debate.
Oh, okay. All right.
My first remembrance.
It's been a couple of months since that happened. A
couple of years.
We also have Rhett Rawl, who is a teacher of government and economics at Jay High School. Is that right? At Jay High School. And he is also running for a District 1 commission seat in District 3 commission seat in Santa Rosa County, the north end, essentially. Rhett, welcome for the first time.
Thank you, Andrew.
All right. Very good to have you. So, I don't know. Let's get into it. I think probably the biggest news for Santa Rosa County in the last week has been the announcement yesterday that the Department of Environmental Protection for the state of Florida has issued the permit for the spray fields. So that means that we are almost there on the wastewater treatment plant. We need NEPA permission next, and then we can go out to contract, and we can get bids, and we can start turning dirt, and then eventually we can start actually doing what needs to be done. Big news, right?
Very big news. Very big news. This is something that obviously has been going on for years and years. And, you know, it's gotten to a point over there that Milton can't even take on any more sewage customers. So it's much needed. We need to get the effluent out of the river. I know there's some controversy over the location, but we've got to do something. The clock's turning, and there comes a point in time, I think, in 25 where the DEP is going to start levying a fine every day for putting effluent in the river. So.
Yeah, I think the date is January 1st of 26, and it's like
they may have moved it.
Yeah, it's like $100 a day, I think. They were talking about how, you know, Randy Jurgensen was making the comment that, you know, given that it's a $50+ million project, $3,000 a month isn't really all that much money.
Right.
It's probably going up in price more than the fine would be levied. And there's been a lot of delays in this. And I just say this because there are some people always tuning in who may not know the full history of it. But the short version is the plant currently discharges into the Blackwater River. But because of shifting between, as I understand it, the salinity and the fresh water in that part of the river, they've got to move the effluent out of the river where it currently is. And in the plant that they're building, it won't discharge into the river at all. So if you ever hear somebody say, well, the plant's going to be polluting the river, that is not correct. But finding the spray fields to put the water into the ground, that's been, you know, one of the many challenges. Your thoughts on this? It's a big development for business, too.
Well, so earlier today, you were talking about the cell phone tower.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So it's a lot similar to that. We need it. Nobody wants it near them. But it's something that we've got to have. So that's where the, you know, everything is a balance. And this is no different. You know, we've got to find the solution to, you know, treat the most people with the least amount of impact.
And, you know, clearly the people who have been the most vocal against this project are the people who live right there in Cooper's Basin, where it's really close to them. Sure. And, you know, I think some of their concerns are fair, and a lot of their concerns have been exaggerated or quite frankly deceptive. But as you say, I mean, nobody wants to be close to it, but everybody wants to have treated sewer. Nobody wants to have the tower in their backyard, but everybody wants good cell service.
Right.
And so, you know, this is a problem in doing development, right, Ed, where, you know, we want to have the things in place infrastructure-wise, but either on the back end they're ugly or they're close to us and we don't like that, or we don't like the idea of it, or we just don't plan ahead and put it in ahead of time, right?
That's right. And probably the biggest thing, Andrew, is we all want infrastructure, but nobody wants to pay for it.
Yeah.
I mean, it all costs and it's all very expensive. The money's got to come from somewhere. And obviously there's different ideas of where these sources of revenue should come from, but everybody wants it, but nobody wants to pay for it.
So we've been having this conversation in Escambia County recently because Commissioner Bergosh, who was up for election, always talks a lot about concurrency. I'm not sure that he ever actually proposes it, and I'm hoping he does because I want to have this conversation in Escambia County. But the idea of concurrency being build the infrastructure at the same time as you're putting in the new homes, or at least in enough to accommodate the extra capacity demand on schools and roads and sewer and electric and everything else related, potentially everything else related to it. To me, the basic theory of concurrency is it's always more expensive to dig up and expand than it is to build it from the beginning. And so concurrency makes sense to me, but I don't know, Rhett, what do you think? Is concurrency the right way to go?
So it's just like when you do any project around your home, when you go and you add on an addition or whatever, whether it's a screened-in porch or whether it's a pool or whether it's, you know, just a remodeling, it's always more expensive on the back end. So, yeah, do it as early as you can while, you know, in Santa Rosa, we're behind. We're growing so fast, which is a good thing. People want to come live in Santa Rosa, but we've got to do as much as we can, as quick as we can. And like Mr. Carson was saying, it's not always a fun project because it's not pretty. Mm-hmm. You know, we sidewalks aren't really pretty. Lights around the road aren't always pretty. We'd rather see beautification projects, which are also great. But, you know, the need has to come before the want. And, you know, that's a great idea, yeah.
Concurrency, Ed, your thoughts as somebody who develops projects for a living?
Well, I think, again, it comes down to funding. Mm-hmm. And how do you fund staying ahead of development? That's the tough issue. And, you know, I get it. It, like Rhett said, it's much easier to do it on the front end. But again, the fundings, where do you get the funds from, the, you know, all the planning? That's the tough part.
And to be fair, I think, and, you know, Stephen Barry, although I think his attitude towards concurrency is wrong, made the comment in a town hall last year where he said, you know, I don't think we can't fix the roads we've got. It's going to be a hard sell convincing the board to put money into building roads to places that don't even exist. And we've biked both counties in almost their entirety. I have seen a lot of places where clearly the infrastructure was there and there are not houses there. And the project fell apart, whether it was from the recession previously. I mean, it's hard to imagine there are places like that today, but there really are. There's a lot of projects in Santa Rosa County and Escambia County that have not happened for whatever reason. They're like vacant developments where the roads are there and the little green pipes are sticking up out of the ground, but there are no houses for whatever reason. So it does happen that you build the infrastructure first and then it just sits there, right?
It does. It happens much less here than other places, but
sure.
It certainly happens.
Yeah.
Or the project gets completely changed because interest rates went through the roof.
Right.
So now people can't afford the, you know, 3,000 square foot home. Now they're having to build for the 1,500 square foot or, you know, and everything changes. And that infrastructure that was in place is now has to be, you know, changed.
Or and I'm guessing, but Ed, tell me if I'm wrong, sometimes the other way too. The builders can't make a profit at $300,000, so they build nicer homes at $4,000 or $5,000 because that's where the profit is given the changes in the market. That I assume that happens too.
Yeah. The builders just don't go out and arbitrarily start building houses. There has to be
Don't.
No. No. Contrary to popular belief, that doesn't happen.
We're talking to Rhett Rowell and Ed Carson here in the studio for The Wrap. If you have questions for them, feel free to text me 437-1620. Jake's got traffic on the 5. Jake?
Well, I'm not seeing anything on our roadways slowing you down. I-10 and I-110 are at posted speeds. Highway 98 through Gulf Breeze and Navarre is flowing smoothly. Highway 90 coming out of Milton through Pace is clear. And if you're on Highway 29 south through Cantonment, nothing's slowing you down there. If you see any issues on our roadways, you can always report it to us on our traffic tip line, 437-1620. I'm Jake Walker with your traffic on the 5s.
Thanks so much, Jake. The city of Milton is...
Da-na-na-na.
That's right. It's such a weird blend of highly capable staff and some highly capable city council and members of the public... And then some others. And it's a lot of drama. It's a lot of entertainment. We make fun of it all the time. But, you know, like, for example, this business with the wastewater treatment plant, you know, $15+ million is no small shake for a town Milton size to be able to pull that together over the last, what, 4, 5, 6 years.
Right.
And some incredibly talented people work there. And so... And they just had a workshop where they went through and talked about the health of Milton and the financial health of Milton and how the audit that's been requested is basically bogus. I mean, it's a legitimate audit, but it's based on bogus claims about the city, and they're going to come back with a squeaky clean result. It's weird when the government works well, but it looks like it works terribly. As a citizen, how do you make sense of that?
So in education, you know, we've, especially at a small school like Jay,
yeah.
We've coached everything, and there's a need there. And... You know, the old saying, things are never as good as they appear, and they're also never as bad.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the same within government. It's the same within local government. You know, you have a group of people, for whatever reason, that are really pro a group or they're really anti-group. And the audit you know, I would think that's going to show, you know, that we have a good group of people in Milton doing their job, and you know, and that's going to make a lot of people happy, and it's going to make a lot of people upset and disappointed for whatever reason.
I find that, like, the city of Pensacola, which is a bigger city, you know, 50,000 people versus 10,000, has become boring to cover. Not always. There are occasional moments, but, like, the city council kind of functions well, and, you know, they get things done. And, I mean, there's been some drama lately with the gym and whatever, but generally I watch these meetings. I'm like, well, that's all good. I'll tell people that happened. Milton is far more entertaining to watch and still does run quite well in spite of it all. I mean, to some degree, there's a lot of problems internally. But I don't know, what do you make of just getting people to be interested in their government when it's sort of boring and good?
I think there's always going to be a core group that's interested, and I always think there's going to be a bunch of people that aren't. I don't know how to engage them. Mm-hmm. Part of what I've tried to do in the last 10 or 12 years since I've been more involved in Santa Rosa is to try to get some involvement, but it's hard. I mean,
is the zoning board fully staffed? I mean, yes. Fully mm-hmm. populated?
Okay. It is.
But that's always a challenge, right? Is finding enough people to be on these various boards, right?
It is, and it's hard work. It's long work. I mean, our meetings start at 6, and it's not unusual to last till midnight.
Mm-hmm.
And
you never make friends.
No, you leave.
You make a lot of critics.
Half the people love you, and half the people hate you when you're done. So we talk about that before the meeting. We're all neighbors. We should try to get along. But some people are going to leave here, and they're not going to be happy. It's just part of it.
I think that is, I will be honest, I think before I lived here and mm-hmm. had to cover these things, I didn't even know that there were citizen committees in local government where you could work on stuff like that, you know, the Marine Advisory Committee or the Planning or the Zoning or the Architectural Review Board or all the different ones that there are. But it is it's a lot of work, as you say. It's a pretty big commitment. Mm-hmm. You don't get paid for it. But it really is a phenomenal way to get familiar with how government works and to have some input into the process if you think there are things about it that you'd like to change, right?
Yeah. And I actually chair the Lost Oversight Committee.
Local option sales tax, if people don't know.
Which was part of getting it passed in the first place. That was a provision that we in the business community asked be put in as part of it. But we have 10 people on the committee. And we'll be lucky if we have 2 people attend the meeting. So, you know, there's all this conversation about what are you doing with the money? Where's it being spent? Is it's being wasted? It's clearly right there for you to come listen, give us your thoughts. I mean, come on, you know, we're open to that.
You don't even have to be on the committee, but just at least attend.
Show up.
The Tourism Development Council in Escambia County seems like half the time can't get a quorum, or it's a partial, like, you know, they're there to discuss, they can't vote, or they got to, you know, wait for somebody to arrive, that kind of thing. A very important, you know, committee doing very important work, but finding the people. I mean, you teach government to the next generation of kids. I mean, are they interested? I know the job of teachers to raise interest, but do you feel like they care a lot, or they care about graduating and getting their grade?
So during an election year, you know, those falls are always, there's a lot more, you know, look, this debate happened last night. You know,
right.
Look, this is where how they're campaigning. This is how much money they've raised. Why are they hitting these areas in the country? That those things are always a lot easier to grab their attention than on a non-election cycle where you're like, well, look at 4 years ago. This is what we did 4 years ago. Look at you know, this is what worked. This is what hasn't worked in the past. So, you know, there's still an interest in, you know, the debate always is when do you start teaching kids about government?
Yeah.
You know, in Florida, there's a 7th grade civics course, and then they don't get it again until they're seniors.
That's all they
you
need
know, junior seniors.
But, you know, once every 5 years is good.
Sure, that's good. This is kind of like showing up to these meetings that Mr. Carson's talking about.
Yeah, right.
Just show up.
Just
but
come to one, and you know everything you need to know.
Exactly, yeah. So, you know, there's always a grind there. I find that economics taking, you know, that right before they graduate, and you're able to say, okay, look, this is, if you want to do this, this is what you're going to make, and this is what it costs to live.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sometimes, you know, you just have to make it interesting, and but it is there, especially as they get closer to graduation, the interest is in being involved is more important.
And I will say this, people might see the end product of me at 53 and my level of interest and knowledge and whatever, you know. But in high school, and I was on debate, I was interested in philosophy and politics, and I was a, you know, highly engaged AP kind of student, you know. I didn't know anything. And, you know, cared some about some things, but, you know, people can develop interest later in life. They can become passionate about civic service later in life. They can, you know, become aware later. Not even the teenagers who are disinterested, even the citizens who are at 25 or 30 or 40 are not interested. They might be later, because I've said this before, many, but I'll say it again. I didn't care about local politics at all. And I would never watch the local news anywhere I ever lived until here as part of the job. And now I'm like, oh, man, this is so interesting. But it, I don't think it captivates a lot of people. Unless you present it in a way that it's kind of engaging to them, right?
Sure. And in Santa Rosa, as Mr. Carson knows, you know.
I love that you call him that, by the way.
Well, he's
that
Mr. Carson. He's Mr. Carson. You know.
I'm feeling old.
Can
Andrew.
I still call you Ed?
Yeah, is you okay? Can. So can he, and I've asked him.
No, I know, I know. And I've always said no. But so campaigning, whether we're in Gulf Breeze, Navarre, Milton Pace, you know, and I'll say, well, I'm running for District 3. And they'll say, well, I can't vote for you. I live in Navarre.
Oh, my God.
And, you know, in Santa Rosa, and in Santa Rosa, obviously, it's an at-large. It's everybody votes different than Escambia.
What I think is weird about that? They know they live not in District 3, but they don't know they can vote for any district.
Exactly.
Because I think a lot of times people don't even know what district they live in. It's hard to remember. I actually almost signed, because I will sign for any politician who's running that I'm eligible to sign for, and the independent running for District 2 for the State House was asking us to sign, and I don't live in District 2, but it took me, I was filling the form, like, oh, I live in District, I can't even do this. Even I forget, because knowing these lines, and it's different for every level of government, is hard to remember, right?
It is. And the other thing that I see a lot of is people don't seem to understand what the different levels of government are responsible for.
Amen.
Local government
versus
federal versus state.
And what can be done with different funds.
Correct.
Different pots.
And if they know one person who is their elected official, they will go to that person for everything, because that's the person they know, which is a very understandable thing, because it is very hard to really keep track of who is responsible for what. And, you know, so I know. And even when they're out of office, I hear there's some people as well, that even they're out of office, people still call them, because at least that's somebody they know. That they're connected. They used to have power and probably can at least point them in the right direction. We're talking to Rhett Rowell and Ed Carson here for The Wrap. Jake has got traffic on the five. Jake?
Not seeing anything on our roadways slowing us down. If you do see anything out there, you can always call or text our traffic tip line. That number is 437-1620. I'm Jake Walker with your traffic on the fives.
All right. I feel like I want to ask a controversial question, so feel free to say whatever you want to say, of course. But this week, former President Trump came out with $60 Bibles. The only Bible endorsed by President Trump. I find myself having real high levels of both sides-ism on this. You know, my first reaction was, oh, good Lord. And then my second reaction was, well, maybe a bunch of people who don't read the Bible would read the Bible. And it's going to have, like, the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution inside, which is always a little bit cautious about adding material to the Bible, because it's no longer than the Holy Bible. It's the Holy Bible plus some stuff. But I don't know. Thoughts? Rhett?
Mr. Carson, won't you take this one first?
Well, politicizing the Bible is totally out of bounds for me. So I can't endorse this. I just think the Word of God is the Word of God, and Mr. Trump putting his name on it or whatever and trying to raise some money, that's gone
impact.
Too far for me. No.
I'll go with that.
Quickest controversy ever.
But he's not keeping the money, right?
No,
Trump is not keeping the money.
It's not clear how the money flows. They say the money isn't going to him directly. It's to some organization or foundation. But they're also saying that he gets some kind of compensation for his appearance and for his endorsement. So, you know, is that 90% of the profits? Is that 1% of the profits? Is that a flat fee again?
I don't think he puts his name on anything without getting something.
Right. I agree. I think that would be irrational to think. So it's just one of these things where you think you have seen the outer bounds of all the behavior that could come from a person, and you find out that, no, there's still more yet to give.
Absolutely.
Well, Rhett Rowell, Ed Carson, thanks for being here. I always appreciate the time. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Local news every hour and breaking news when it matters most. News Radio 92.3 WNRP Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.